So we're going to start off with the Julian Assange and what is happening with that. It's all over the news. Julian Assange, a WikiLeaks founder. WikiLeaks describes itself as an international nonprofit organization that publishes secret information, news leaks, and classified media provided by anonymous sources. Its website was launched in 2006 in Iceland by the organization Sunshine Press. Julian Assange, an Australian internet activist, is its founder and director. And they've released massive amounts of documents, including on April 2010, they released the collateral murder footage from July 12th, 2007, a Baghdad airstrike by the U.S., in which Iraqi journalists and civilians were among those killed. We actually played that clip. It was quite revealing and important at the time. And there were other releases by WikiLeaks, including the Afghan War Diary, the Iraq War Logs, and many others. And of course, famously, releasing some documents that were said to be embarrassing, to say the least, to Hillary Clinton during the last presidential election. Now, Assange has been officially charged by the U.S. with conspiring to hack into a secret Pentagon computer in a criminal indictment unveiled soon after his arrest. Assange is accused of working with Chelsea Manning, a former U.S. Army intelligence analyst, to break into the Defense Department's network in 2010 to obtain classified documents. So he is charged with one count of conspiracy to commit computer intrusion, and he faces a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison if convicted. But many are predicting that the U.S. will pile on, additional charges to that. And last month, Chelsea Manning herself was sent to prison indefinitely after she refused to take part in a U.S. Department of Justice investigation into WikiLeaks. She informed judges that she would accept, quote unquote, whatever you bring upon me. Okay, so Chelsea Manning, I understand that she's now out of solitary confinement where they had placed her initially, but nevertheless, she is still in prison. And she previously served time in prison between 2010 and 2017 for her continued refusal to testify before a grand jury against Julian Assange. And Manning herself, she was charged with 22 offenses. Let us go to just a short clip now from NBC News having to do with why Ecuador, Julian Assange was holed up for the last 7 years in the Ecuadorian consulate in London, England, on why they ended asylum for Julian Assange.
This morning, Julian Assange is gearing up for a fight, waiting to find out if he'll be sent to the U.S. to face charges. On Thursday, the handcuffed Assange giving a thumbs up and winking at cameras as he entered a London courtroom. Despite a not guilty plea, a judge quickly convicted him of skipping bail, calling him a narcissist who cannot get beyond his own selfish interests. WikiLeaks founder shouting and struggling as he was dragged out of the Ecuadorian embassy in Britain, where he had holed up for 7 years, after that country revoked his asylum. Ecuador's president accusing Assange of discourteous and aggressive behavior, the move clearing the way for a U.S. extradition request. The Justice Department unsealing an indictment Thursday accusing Assange of conspiracy with former Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning to hack into a Pentagon computer. Assange's lawyers are vowing to fight.
It is unacceptable that a publisher be extradited to face prosecution in the United States for publishing truthful information, and no democratic government should be seeking to prosecute a publisher for that, and nor should any other democratic government extradite a publisher for doing that.
WikiLeaks released hundreds of thousands of classified documents on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan in 2010, embarrassing the U.S. government. The group also behind the release of emails hacked from the Democratic National Committee in 2016.
The bottom line is he has to answer for what he has done, at least as it's been charged.
Then-candidate Trump praised WikiLeaks on the campaign trail.
WikiLeaks. I love WikiLeaks.
But now the president's saying,
I know nothing about WikiLeaks. It's not my thing.
Assange's supporters say he's a journalist and whistleblower, calling his arrest an attack on free speech.
Okay, there you heard Donald Trump with his usual double speak. He loves WikiLeaks, and then, well, he doesn't really know anything about WikiLeaks. Laura Carlson, starting with you, though, you know, the shift to the right of several governments south of the border played a role in this arrest and what has happened, because Julian Assange holed up in the Ecuadorian consulate in the UK and was given that asylum by Rafael Correa, who was more to the left. Now you have Ecuadorian President Lenin Moreno, who is more to the right and seems to be want to curry up to the United States. So tell us a little bit about that, what's happening in Ecuador, and the just the wider implications of what is seen by many as Ecuador kowtowing to the United States, even though they talk about being tired of, you know, Julian Assange being rude and discourteous, et cetera.
Yeah, I watched that full statement from Lenin Moreno, and it's outrageous. So what he's done, basically, this is another example of how geopolitics and pressure from the United States government trumps international law, or even national law in this case, because Julian Assange not only had asylum from the Ecuadorian government to remain in the embassy, but he had also been made a citizen of the country. So Lenin Moreno just reverted all that. We have to go back a little in the history here, too, because Moreno is actually the candidate of Rafael Correa and was elected to continue the legacy of the center-left Correa government in Ecuador. Once he got into office, he completely shifted his political ideology and policies, and has begun this campaign basically against everything that Correa stood for. So it has been a sharp shift to the right in Ecuador, and there's a history of pressure. Many people have said that Mike Pence offered loans and support to the Ecuadorian government, that Mike Pompeo was down there several times to pressure the Ecuadorian government. And with this pressure and his own shift to the right, Moreno was took this grave decision, which seems to be in violation of international law on many fronts, to expel Julian Assange from the embassy and make it possible for the United States to get the British government to arrest him there. Now, this is a huge event in many ways. They've charged him with hacking because they wanted to avoid the criticisms, the very valid criticisms, that they were prosecuting him for publishing the material, for simply publishing the material, which, of course, would raise the hackles of people all over the world in defense of the First Amendment in the United States and of freedom of speech in general. However, they can't get around it that easily because it's clear that he's being punished for publishing this material. In fact, the Obama administration did an investigation and didn't find evidence that he cooperated with Chelsea Manning in actually obtaining the documents. So they've got a big case in front of them, too. Glenn Greenwald said that the criminalization of journalism by the Trump Justice Department, and that every journalist should be raising their voices. Unfortunately, in the mainstream media in the United States anyway, we're not seeing that. We're still seeing a coverage that's very centered on a controversial figure, very personalized, ignoring the overall issues. The ever-smug New York Times even discounts him as a journalist. They said, though he's always described himself as a journalist, he's been far too much of an activist to be satisfied with the role of neutral and fair-minded provider of information like ostensibly we are, you know?
Yeah.
And that's an absolute sham, because this will have a chilling effect. They were the ones who published the material and benefited greatly from that access to that material. And it denies First Amendment rights excuse me. And then the other point is that they're doing this in Great Britain and pressuring the Ecuador government along the way. So we've got this huge overreach in which the idea that a government to deny First Amendment rights and freedom of expression can even go into another country and call for extradition on a very shaky claim like this is a huge red flag in terms of the situation. And the final point is the obvious one, that we really owe a debt of gratitude to both these people, to Julian Assange and to Chelsea Manning, incredibly brave every step of the way. Because what they did is they put a human face on the war that we're seeing, and that issue has been lost in all this coverage. They showed us what the callous killing of civilians in Iraq and Afghanistan actually looks like. And that discussion has been lost in all this, and we need to go back to that discussion, because to understand the real meaning of the kind of wars that the United States is carrying out across the world is fundamental to changing the foreign policy.
Thank you. And Jackie Goldberg just weighing in on this. You know, there are some reports that there is some kind of leak that says the United States actually has email or other communication between Assange and Chelsea Manning. And it is on that basis that they have narrowed the charge to that, even though others believe that more charges are going to be piled on. The particular charge right now of the United States against Assange carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison if convicted, but we don't know if that's going to be the end of it. The other thing about it, just from the a point of view of women, I mean, we all remember the initial charges by women in Sweden of sexual abuse and sexual assault by Julian Assange. And our hearts always go out to any victim of rape and sexual assault out there, because we know what that triggers. Sweden has now dropped those charges. But there is, you know, Julian Assange, I mean, the judge yesterday called him a narcissist. Ecuador says that he was rude and ungrateful and refused to clean up after his cat and expected others to basically serve him. So there doesn't seem to be, if we're to believe all of that, any doubt that there's some questionable, I should say, characteristics, personal characteristics of Julian Assange. Setting those aside, or even keeping those in mind, though, your thoughts on what's happening to him now and what the broader implications are for all of us. Jackie Goldberg.
Well, actually, I'm interested in how this all affects Chelsea Manning.
Yep.
Because she's been in jail for a long time for refusing to tell a grand jury everything she knows about Assange. And I think that one of the things that should come from this indictment is that they don't need her testimony. They have, in all legal terms, everything that they need already, or they couldn't have filed the charges. So it would lead to one to perhaps conclude that the continued incarceration of Chelsea Manning is political and is punitive and has nothing to do with trying to get her to testify against somebody against whom they have so much evidence that they did this charge against him and released it and unsealed it. So my hope is that this gets Chelsea Manning some freedom finally, because she took a stand against the idea that the grand jury's secrecy was punitive, and that what they wanted her to do was to attack Assange. And that they needed, what they've kept her in jail for is they claimed they needed her testimony in order to know what really happened. Well, I think the indictment of Assange shows that that's an absolute lie, and it is time to insist that the government finally let her go. as to Assange himself, you know, I certainly believe that he's a journalist. There is, however, of course, continuing question as to whether or not he participated in getting the material from and giving it to the Russians during the campaign, which, of course, would not be a journalist's behavior, but would be a behavior of an advocate of something. So I think that he's a mixed bag, but I do think that if we see him prosecuted under this kind of Mickey Mouse arrest because they don't want to take on the First Amendment issues, that it will have a continuing negative effect on people and publishing things that are controversial, lest they be considered illegal, and that further erodes the press being able to do its job, which is to inform us about all things that we need to know in a democracy.
And Jackie, we do hear the children playing around you. And as per usual, Jackie, you're always involved in education and working with young people, which is so important. But thank you for your comments here. And Dr. Gerald Horn, I mean, just weighing in on all of this, you know, the Washington Post is saying, well, you know, he's no journalist, right? Basically, he's just a criminal. And you have the very mainstream media that were very happy to publish documents from WikiLeaks now denying his journalism, even though what he and Chelsea Manning did, and I'm very glad that Jackie Goldberg underscored what's happening to Chelsea, because she's gone to prison. She's been paying a price. She's ready to say that she'll accept whatever you bring to me, quoting her. A lot of people are concerned that Chelsea wasn't protected in the way that Julian Assange has been protected. But just your thoughts on all of this, and including now that the people who are turning against Assange, who perhaps formerly would have supported him because of what happened, the leak that happened during the 2016 presidential election that Trump really blew up and campaigned on and said he loved WikiLeaks for the embarrassing material that was released by WikiLeaks during the election, and some members of the Trump team allegedly coordinating with WikiLeaks. So we have to assume Julian Assange and all this. Dr. Horn.
Well, your critique and the critique of other panelists of the analyses of the Washington Post and the New York Times is a reflection of a larger rift in the anti-Trump forces. I'm speaking of this center-left rift. You see that with regard to certain Democrats saying that they can support any Democratic nominee for president except Bernie Sanders. You see that in the recent historic victory in the Chicago elections of five Democratic socialists elected to the Chicago City Council, an astonishing victory, but in turn has received criticism from other members of the Democratic Party. And you see this as well with regard to the coverage of Julian Assange, with regard to CNN giving a stern critique of Mr. Assange, and of course, Pacifica on the left taking an opposing position. This centered left rift, I'm afraid to say, if it's not dealt with substantively, could easily lead directly to Mr. Trump's reelection in November 2020. I think also the Julian Assange case reflects issues with regard to what's happening in the UK itself. That is to say that because of Brexit, there is a possibility that Britain may have to call an election before October 31st when they're slated to exit altogether. If that takes place, there's a possibility that Labour will come to power, and Jeremy Corbyn and Diane Abbott have already made clear that they're not in favor of an extradition of Julian Assange, an extradition process which may take years, by the way. Well, while on the other hand, if Theresa May or the Tories are somehow reelected or retain power, you can guarantee that Mr. Julian Assange will be put on the first jet to Washington, D.C. Similarly, I would also like to say that it raises historic questions as well. That is to say that recall Daniel Ellsberg during the Pentagon Papers controversy some decades ago. It would be as if those who supplied him with a copy machine could be prosecuted for assisting Daniel Ellsberg copying all of these documents, revealing the dirty secrets of the war in Vietnam. I think that this Julian Assange case raises many, many, many questions, which is one of the reasons why it will be in the headlines for some years to come.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Horn. And just FYI to our listeners, apparently the USA Today is reporting that prosecutors in Sweden are considering reopening an investigation into the sexual assault allegations against Assange, and that Sweden's deputy chief prosecutor said in a statement that her office had received a request late Thursday, I wonder from whom, to resume a rape probe into Assange from lawyers representing the alleged victim. So it was the lawyers of the victim, and they're saying that the case was dropped in 2017 because Assange was basically living in the embassy and therefore hindered the investigation. So this is far from over, even on the sexual assault charges, in addition to the charges that the United States has in store. So this is to be continued.